Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to the fray, sports mappers. As we've been going along here for the last 2 hours or so on The Usual Suspects, it's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's a Monday. If you missed anything on the show, we always encourage you to go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and figure out the hours you missed. Catch up on what we said when you were away and make sure that you are much smarter for the rest of your day. You can also go to podcastarena.com if you want to catch the podcast that way. And of course, we always encourage you, just download the app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere and everywhere you go, and it's all a lot easier, and you don't have to worry about signals and other things. It's all taken care of for you.
Either of you get a chance to watch the Sunday night football game?
Flip back and forth. I was flipping back and forth during commercials of the Astros game.
Yeah, I recorded it to watch it afterwards just because I really wanted to see the matchup between Brady and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and the Patriots. And is this Chiefs team legit? And I know they lost, but I got to say, man, the Chiefs showed a lot better than I thought. And Patrick Mahomes basically went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. And it was a really good game.
Great game.
Two, when you look at just how poised Patrick Mahomes was and how good Tyreek Hill is too, by the way.
Yeah. But he's just a return guy.
Yeah. I mean, stats wise, almost identical. I mean, Mahomes, 23 of 36, 352 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He did have the 2 interceptions. Brady was 24 of 35, 340 yards and 1 touchdown. They basically had the identical QBR and quarterback ratings. But man, it's just it's got to be frustrating. One, when you're the Chiefs, you know your defense is not good, and you're just going to have to outscore everybody. And a lot of Chiefs games are going to come down to when they're playing really good teams. It's going to come down to who has the ball last. And if Tom Brady has the ball last with any amount of time, and the game is tied, chances are you're not winning that game, especially when him and Gronk are connecting, because that's really what it was. It was big chunk plays to Gronk and that's it. I mean, they ran the ball well, too. New England rushed the ball well. But, man, Gronk with just a couple of big plays. He had three catches for 97 yards.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Chunk plays.
The bottom line is, I think you said it in what you just said, but that was one of those games where whoever had the ball last is going to win. And neither team's defense seems to be worth a rip. But offensively, boy, there's a lot of talent on the field. I mean, you look at the play that really broke it open for the field goal for the Patriots. You can line up Gronk anywhere, and he has a massive advantage, whether it be his height, you know, his size. He still runs precise routes. He finds a way to get open. And obviously, as much as teams say, well, they don't really have a deep threat, so we know Gronk. We just got to take away Gronk. You can't take him away. Like you said, he only had 3 catches, but those 3 catches were huge.
It's going to be fascinating to see down the stretch how well this Chiefs team does. Do they collapse? Because they're notorious for that. Andy Reid and his teams are notorious for starting well and ending terribly. And you just wonder if Mahomes is a different kind of, you know, has a different kind of swagger about him. It's concerning, though. And I think that from the Patriots standpoint, you're right. Defense didn't play well, but man, if they can rush the ball like they did against the Chiefs, which again, it's the Chiefs, it's not a good defense, but if you can get 173 yards rushing out of your backfield along with Brady and Gronk, you're in good shape. And you know, Gordon has yet to see the field.
He's getting some balls, but here's the thing. The bigger thing that you can see is that it's going to take a while for him to understand. You don't give up on routes.
Yeah.
Run them all the way through. There was one where if he continued to run through the play, Brady was trying to kind of, without selling him out on national TV, but, you know, kind of let him know, you keep running there, bro, I got you.
By the way, I said field. I meant he's yet to make an impact on the field.
Right.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, and that's the thing. I came away probably, I kind of expected that out of the Patriots, but I think that was the last bit of verification I needed. The Chiefs are for real offense. I mean, and because there aren't really any great, we saw with Jacksonville, there's not really that many great defensive teams in the league that we thought they were going to be. Minnesota isn't what they're cracked up to be at the start of the year. Jacksonville's not cracked up to what we thought they were going to be at the start of the year. And offenses are prevailing. And there isn't a more talented offense in the league than Kansas City with those skill players. And the fact that their number one skill player is more than just a rookie in his second year getting his feet wet. That dude can play.
Yeah, he's really good at that position right now. It's, you keep expecting, you know, I thought, and I think everyone said, okay, well, this is where Mahomes loses. And he did. And so credit to whoever said this is where Mahomes loses a game. But I think what people meant by that is this is where he gets exposed for being young and being not knowing the game. And Andy Reid, you know, gets out-coached by Bill Belichick. And they shut down this Chiefs offense because it's Bill Belichick and the genius that he is. And it's a young quarter. And that just didn't happen. I mean, that just did not happen. They just ran out of time. It's kind of the old Aggie saying, oh, the Aggies always say they never lose. They just ran out of time. That's literally what happened to the Chiefs because they went out there and went blow for blow with the Patriots. It's just that the Patriots had the ball
and
left.
And Nick said it, and he was absolutely right. Leading into this game, give Belichick all that time to prepare to stop a kid like this, and he'll be effective. He wasn't effective.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were saying that. It was said on the broadcast. And a lot of people, I'm telling you, before every Patriots game, I feel like people look at, well, how many days does Bill Belichick have to prepare for this team? And he essentially had 10 days to prepare for a, you know, sophomore quarterback, but a rookie, essentially, in Patrick Mahomes. But you're right, Barry, because the fact that they really didn't shut anything down. I mean, look, Hill, 7 receptions. Hunt, 5 receptions. Kelsey, 5 receptions. I mean, everybody, the ball was spread out a lot despite the obstacles that Mahomes had to deal with. So it's still a sentiment to Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be interesting to see how he continues to perform for the remainder of the season. But yeah, man, Belichick, 10 days, essentially a rookie quarterback. I mean, that's tough for anybody, I think. So,
and Hunt, too, was fantastic. I mean, that dude, obviously his first game ever as a rookie was that game against the Patriots a year ago when they upset New England to start the season. But he was exceptional last night, both running the ball and catching the ball in total offense. And you put a guy that's that reliable and dependable behind Patrick Mahomes, and you got an all-world tight end. Boy, they're only going to get better offensively.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something defensively, though. I mean,
but how much? Because like we were talking about, really, the elite defensive teams. Now, the one team that I didn't mention that I should mention is a team that looks like it's for real on defense, Baltimore.
Yeah.
But they have problems offensively.
Dallas looks good.
Dallas is pretty good,
too.
Right. But Minnesota and Jacksonville, who were supposed to be head and shoulders, the two best defenses. And then Khalil Mack got hurt for the Bears yesterday.
Yeah, Chicago, defensively, they had a really bad day.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Miami was good. Brock Osweiler was rolling through them. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It seems like this is one of those years where it's going to be, you know, if it's all predicated on offense, you can take whoever you want, but it's pretty hard to argue with all the weapons that the Chiefs have.
If you just look at the, you know, the upcoming schedule for the Chiefs and you think about, okay, since this team can't stop anybody, if they're going to get into shootouts, then they might be in trouble if they don't have the ball last, right? And the teams that you think about that against would be like New England, which we saw because Tom Brady is Tom Brady. Maybe the Rams, maybe New Orleans. So if those are on the schedule, then you worry about, well, you're going to have to outscore that team and that's going to be, but when you're facing like their schedule, right? The Chiefs coming up, they got the Bengals, the Broncos, the Browns, the Cardinals. They should outscore them. You are right. I mean, they should outscore all of those teams. And even though they can't stop them, those teams can't compete with them offensively, right? Then right. You get the Rams and the Chargers, and that might be the two games on their schedule where they might be at risk at really losing that game.
Because the other team, like Baltimore, that we didn't mention, that's defense hasn't let them down for the most part, is the Rams.
Yeah, so the Rams and the Chargers are two teams that they might not be able to match point for point. I think they can, but the Chargers for sure. The Rams might be the difficult one. Because the Rams can outscore you, but they can stop you. So, I mean, you're looking at a team that might, just because they lost to the Patriots, they might lose three games all year. If
that might be on the high side too. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, if they split with the Rams, I think they could beat the Chargers. The Rams is that's going to be difficult.
Bosa hasn't played all year, Joey Bosa, for the Chargers, and you wonder when you get back. It's one or two scenarios. He could come back. He could be fresh, and he could be Khalil Mack-ish.
Yeah.
But he could also come back and have lingering effects from the injury and not be the same. And as good as San Diego's defense can be when he's in there, totally different unit.
They're
when
in the
he's
same class
playing.
As New England, but they're putting up the same kind of points as New England is, which is my point. When you're playing the Chargers and the Rams, it's going to be like this game against the Patriots. You're going to have the ball last to win the game. Other than that,
fair point.
Everybody else on that schedule, I think, is more than beatable when you look up and down. Because they have, outside of those two teams I just named, Bengals, Broncos, Browns, Cardinals, Raiders, Ravens, Seahawks, Raiders. They should beat all those teams.
I'll tell you what,
and outscore them. Maybe not be able to stop them, but those will be a lot of 40-27 games.
At the start of the year, who'd have thought that a game that everybody wants to see late in the season is Baltimore's defense against the Kansas City offense?
That's pretty crazy.
That would be pretty interesting. Yeah. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We're doing Sports Map 94.1 on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. We're at Pac-Man Joel, at The Producer Nick, and at Barry Is Funny. And we'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the final hour of The Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. Covered a lot of ground today, so if you missed anything, hit the podcast. Check what you missed, because it's another good Monday on the show. Talking a lot of sports today, guys. But one thing I did want to mention this morning, which was bizarre, Channel 2 was doing a live shot this morning, or trying to do a live shot this morning, outside of Minute Maid Park.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude tried to carjack their live truck.
What?
They pulled up to a stoplight, and Sophia Ojeda was the reporter. The photog was driving the van. And a car randomly slammed into the driver's side door of the van. And instead of like waiting for the, you know, calling police and ambulance and waiting for people to arrive, he gets out and tells Sophia Ojeda to get out of the passenger side. She's stuck. She's belted in, and because he hit the passenger side door, the door's up against her. So she can't get out anyway. So he goes around to try and get the photog to get out of the driver's seat. And then at some point they said whether they were full-blown HPD, or they were HPD working on, like, probation stuff. They pull up in one of their vehicles and try to figure out what's going on, and the guy gets into their squad car and takes off, and oh, by the way, he got away.
He stole the HPD squad car?
They found it over off of Old Spanish Trail by Reliant Stadium.
That's a whole different kind of guts. Like, that's
Wait,
just...
And there's even man. More.
That courage.
The two cops had arrested... A teenager or a guy in his early 20s that they had in the back of the squad car before they tried to help.
Who also got away.
So he gets away with the guy in the back. About three blocks after getting away, he pulls over and says, get out. Kicks the kid out of the back, takes off again, and they found the squad car over by Reliant. They still haven't found the guy.
That's amazing.
Did they find the other kid?
The kid, who's evidently trying to save his own case for whatever he got taken in for, started calling the police, go, hey, I'm still here if you want to find another squad car to
put
me in.
Do you know what? That's really smart. It was. I bet they're going to be super lenient with that dude.
I think you're right, too.
I hope so.
At the same time, then, like, Sophia Ojeda was, like, Facebook. I'm friends with someone that's a cameraman at Channel 2, and he's like, this would happen to my colleagues this morning. She goes on, like, this five-minute deal going, I'm okay.
But that's wild.
And so they had to check out everybody. But again, they got away. And they got away with a squad car.
That's pretty ballsy. to steal a cop car.
One, you're trying to take a live truck. I'm not sure how the getaway is going to go because you're not exactly going to out-accelerate anybody with a freaking satellite antenna on top of your van. But then to take a squad car and get away with it.
That's wild.
They use helicopters for everything in this city. You couldn't get a helicopter to go over that squad car and figure out where it is and what he's doing?
But he was in another car now, hopefully for his
The
sake.
Initial car was stolen,
I was
going
to say.
Yes,
so then
was.
There's no way to trace it back to him.
No.
Dude just got away with it. If you're out there listening, sir, I mean, I'm not going to say good job.
I mean, we're kind of glorifying it right now.
I'm just going to say you're pretty slick, but you better leave town.
We're not glorifying it, but it's kind of fun when the criminal wins sometimes.
I'm not saying
Let's
good job. I'm just saying what that was pretty slick. Get out of town. That's pretty funny. This is Demetrius. This is a text. 5 days until the world comes together in Austin for the greatest sporting event ever. There's a nude beach volleyball?
Wow.
What is this, Demetrius, that you speak of in Austin for 5 days? It must be some sort of race. Does Trey know what race is going on? Ask Trey if he knows. I don't know. Also, somebody texted the show and said, hey, Barry, if St. Augustine goes dormant.
Oh, God. Nick.
What? I can't help it. He starts reading the text.
Him.
I can't.
You see what I did?
I distracted
you by making you talk.
Yeah,
and
you
to
didn't
Trey.
Hit him with the buzzer.
Because I was, I was asking in turn.
Because I'm
Trey.
Smart. I'm smarter
no,
than
you're
you
not.
Guys.
Seeing you right now.
Way smarter than you guys.
You know a lot about grass, and now you're smart.
No, just because I tricked you.
Okay.
Because I had you distracted with Trey while I read the St. Augustine
text. Was that an actual text?
Yeah. If somebody said, if St. Augustine goes dormant at 55 degrees, what's the perfect temperature to fertilize? Just make sure. Make sure before November 1st that you fertilize, but use a winterizer.
Good Lord.
And you're good to go.
Whatever. Do we have any other texts? Calls?
I get a lot of
Mr.
yard
Green
tweets.
Thumb over here.
I get a lot of yard tweets now.
Some, good. Keep
some
them to
guy
yourself.
Just randomly was like, hey, what are these spider webs on my oak tree? And I was thinking, why am I like not charging for this advice? I'm giving all this great lawn advice out for free. Man. Okay. I could moonlight.
Hey, Nick asked a question. Do you have an
what?
Answer?
What?
Is there any other texts or tweets that we need to get to?
I mean, that's all you might.
Read it.
No. It just Read says it. Sophia is the best.
Oh.
She's an ex-college. I've already looked her up and did the whole. I did everything. She's an ex-college baller.
And?
She's a mommy. She's a proud immigrant. She's Latina.
Okay. Does she look smart?
Yeah, she does.
Very
she
smart does. Or just?
She looks intelligent
she's
to me.
She's tall.
Like on the smart scale, is she like a
Jersey
seven?
Girl?
7 out of 10?
Former New Yorker.
Okay. How smart does she look?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give her a 10.
Dang.
Wow. Nick.
She's a genius?
She looks smart.
Wow, she's mental level.
Well, who am
huh?
I to say how smart or dumb you look just by looking at your profile pic?
Well, you just kind of did. You just gave her a 10.
I don't think you're picking up what I'm putting down here, Nick.
I am picking up. Well, I'm kind of distracted by the pics, too.
So, 10? Really? She's that smart looking.
I'm not going to.
He knows what's going on right now.
What? What? What, like, what did I miss? What?
Don't worry about it, Nicholas. It's right. Okay, bud.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects, Sportsbet 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
What, what time does the game start tonight? Dodgers Brewers.
Dodgers Brewers.
Brewers.
Brewers. I think it's 4:30 LA, so 6:30 here.
Okay. So we should get to watch a little bit of that before Monday Night Football.
Who's playing Monday Night Football?
What?
I've got a dilemma in my own household, and it happens to not involve my wife, who's a native Californian and a huge Dodger fan.
So she's a huge Dodgers fan. Is she an Astros fan?
Oh, yeah. Both.
Okay. She has to be,
right? And she's so this because it's this series, she's like, you know, because your Brewers have never won a World Series, I might be forgiving if they beat my Dodgers. I'm like, might be? Come on. Because she screams at the TV. But I've got,
is she
I got,
a screamer, too?
I got Brewers and Packers on at the same time.
Yeah, you do.
I'm telling you, I
record one, watch the other.
I'm going to have to
get out the VCR.
On my VCR,
yeah, set the tape to record.
I got to tell you, the Brewers blowing that game to the Dodgers on Saturday hit me hard. I didn't think it would.
Did you cry?
You know what? No, not crying. Oh. I'm just saying because they were winning the whole game, and I'm like, what a great position to be in if you're Milwaukee. You've only been to one World Series in 1982, and you could go up 2-0 on the Dodgers. And then to just watch them just give it away. I was like, damn, that, you know why? Because I don't think they can, I don't feel confident they're going to recover from that and win the series. You're up 2-0 going to LA. I give you a legitimate shot to be in the driver's seat to win that series. 1-1, Dodgers, just like the Astros, Dodgers got what the job done they needed to do. They split, and now they're home for the next three.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like I've told you, and I'm not trying to make you feel better about yourself or anything like that.
Because I wouldn't expect that.
But, I mean, first of all, they had a winning record on the road, so they weren't terrible. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win your division and have the best record in the National League if you don't have a winning record on the road. So they can play on the road. They're not Astros good on the road, but they can play on the road. But that home field advantage in baseball isn't that big of a deal to me. I don't think that it means as much. It means more in regards to travel and whatnot. But when you're in the stadium, especially it, like, you know, Blummer was talking about how Yankee Stadium can be overbearing on you, and Fenway Park can be to a certain degree. But I'm not so sure that LA is as big of a deal because, you know, it's a much more subdued crowd. Maybe if you're the Giants, if you want to talk about a West Coast team, or the, you know, well, not the Athletics, but the Giants for sure might have an advantage. But I don't know that I would be that as worried about that. I would be more worried about, you know, can they match the Dodgers rotation? Can they match those pitching matchups? Can they take advantage of the pitching matchups that they may have towards the back end?
Your boy Chacín is on the mound tonight.
Yeah. It's going to be.
See?
I'm trying to help here, Joel. I'm trying as best I can.
The thing that's really weird too is just I forget how passionate everybody back home is about this. I mean,
really?
Yeah, seriously, like this would be the one time that I think the Brewers will get more attention from viewers at home than the Packers. With the Packers on Monday Night Football. Because the Packers are expected to win against the Niners, but the bigger thing is this just doesn't happen very often. It's a huge deal back home.
Wow.
That they're playing baseball in October, that means something. That's a big deal.
That's good.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to
see. So who you got tonight?
In which game?
Brewers-Dodgers. We'll talk Packers.
I kind of like the matchup in the Brewers' favor tonight, and you've got Hader healthy again. The thing that worries me is Craig Counsell's going to exhaust him with another 43-pitch outing. And he might not be ready for the rest of the games in L.A. But I like the way it lines up again. If you get, you know, if Chacín can give you, you know, 3, 4, 5 innings, I like turning it over to the bullpen. And their offense has been good.
Well, I tell you what, if they can get to Buehler like he had his first game. And
he's got good stuff.
Well, in the postseason, he did that one game that he pitched. It didn't look all that great. I think he had like a 90 ERA come out of that game. So not fantastic. So you can get to him. But that's the thing. You're going to need to get him run early, get into that Dodgers bullpen a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're still good, but you know that you have a better bullpen than them. So you got to make this a battle of the bullpens, I think. I think that's advantage Milwaukee.
Yeah. And again, Craig Counsell not making me very happy with the way he overused his bullpen in game two, and it cost him. Yeah. So, I mean, Turner was 0 for the series with four strikeouts in game one and just crushed
yeah,
their home run.
That's a tough loss.
So, all right, well, we got plenty to talk about. If you guys want something on the show and you want to get it off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Right now, I tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. You know how Mattress Mack likes to do it. He's a member of the Houston community. Whether it be because there are people in need based on a natural disaster or just the fact that you need good furniture that's quality American-made furniture at a great price delivered the same day, then you go to Gallery Furniture. He's got 3 locations to better serve you. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria area, and the mainstay I-45 North exit, Tidwell Parker, both ways. Still doing the Astros promotion, by the way. So if you want bedroom furniture and you spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture from brands like Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and you buy them now and the Astros win it all, at the end of the year, you get it all for free. It's a great deal. And you're already going to get the great furniture at a great price, so you're already getting a good deal. But it's a great deal if you get it all for free because of the fact that the Astros won it all. So check it out. Go to one of the 3 locations. Whenever you need any furniture in your house, make sure you visit Mattress Mack and Gallery Furniture, because everything they say in the commercials is everything they're going to do. That means you buy today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. They're at your door delivering your furniture. There's no back order slips. What you see is what you get. And the most important thing that everybody is mostly concerned with, Gallery really will save you money.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the clock. That means a half hour to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Hope you've enjoyed a Monday here with plenty to talk through with Nick, Barry, myself, and a guest appearance by Juggs, Juggalo Trey.
Juggs, I hear you're infatuated with, what's her name?
I was going to say, Trey, can you hear us right
now? First base Amy? What's her
name? The nickname Juggs needs to come up in this discussion, Trey, because I believe you discovered a Milwaukee treasure watching the series this weekend with the Dodgers. You're enamored with front row Amy, are you not?
Yeah, she's great.
Did you not tweet something?
I'd like to take her to Chili's.
Yeah, did you not tweet something to the effect of you'd really like, she's your kind of woman and you'd really like to ask her out or something?
Yeah, it works for both of the women in the front row. But
who's
either
the other
way,
woman
I was
in the
just
front row?
I was just being facetious. They don't really have to go on a date with me. I respect women.
Who's the other woman in the front row?
It was like a Brewers blogger of some
sort. That's first base row, Amy or whatever the hell
there's
her name
front is. Front row Amy, and then there's like a Brewers.
She's the Brewers one.
Have you been trolling more than one woman that follows the Brewers?
No, I don't think so.
We've established that the one that Joel and I are talking about
is front row Amy. That is
Amy. The Brewers. Who's the other one?
I think it's I don't know her name off the top of my head, but somebody brought it to my attention.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Marlins man that you're
no,
hot for?
No, I'm not okay. thinking of Marlins
next,
man.
By the way, Marlins man's been sitting next to front row Amy.
Has he?
Yeah.
Listen,
are you having a tough time choosing between the two?
No, I'd take both to Chili's if they want to go.
Now, why are you blaming someone else for your infatuation with Brewer bloggers that are women that have attributes you're a fan of?
Like game one, there were two women sitting on each side of Marlins man, and I was saying I'm okay with both of them.
Okay.
I did not see a second woman.
You didn't?
No, but front row Amy's hard to miss.
Yeah, front row Amy is really hard
she's
to
very,
miss.
She's very smart. Proud of her chest.
Yes, she is. And she has her own website.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, talk about someone that's getting a whole lot of run out of the two guns.
It's really aggravating that these women just sit up front and they're hot and they get all this run. And here I am plugging away with you guys.
Don't hate the hustle, Barry.
Wow.
She found a skill set and she made it work for her.
You have a point.
You're going to get there eventually,
you know
Barry.
What? You know what I'm going to do so I can get famous and be famous overnight? I'm going to go get a boob job.
Good idea.
Thanks.
Yeah, skip the widow's peak. Go right to the chest. just get a V-cut. A bunch of V-necks.
Yeah, I figure I'll just start doing comedy in a scoop neck shirt.
Yeah.
And fortune favors the brave, right?
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Give it a shot.
Chan said Formula One's in Austin this weekend. That's what the big to-do in Austin is. Also, Britney Spears is in concert in Austin. Well, Chan, which one are you choosing?
It's not just Britney Spears either. I saw a billboard. I think it's like Bruno Mars.
It's Britney, bitch.
I think it's Britney and Bruno Mars and somebody else. I'm like, what the hell are they doing at a racetrack? But
well, why is Britney teaming up with Bruno Mars anyway? She's well
I'm
past
sure,
her prime.
But I'm sure they're getting trumps all everything.
She should be on the greatest hits tour. She's done, right?
Dude, she's in Vegas.
Britney anymore.
She took over either the Elton John or the Celine Dion run in Vegas. She's killing it in Vegas.
That's not even the same thing.
Bro, she is killing it in Vegas.
You replaced a national treasure like Celine Dion. She's Canadian. She's Canadian. That's why I said that.
Near, far, wherever you are.
I feel like a lot of people might have missed the fact.
I think that they did.
But
I was going to say because Elton John's not from the States either. But okay,
yeah. But I don't know. Britney.
She's got a lot of hits that were
Christina
big
Aguilera.
Time with the
peeps. Yeah, but she can't sing.
No, and here's the other thing.
She
funny
can't
you say
sing.
That. You bring up Christina Aguilera. She's coming back for another tour. Do you know where she's playing in Houston?
Don't say Arena Theater.
Smart Financial in Sugar Land.
Is that a downgrade?
It's the small. It's like, I mean, I think that's maybe 6,000 people.
Well, I mean, she hasn't had a song out in a while, right?
But again, that's a big name. So think about it.
Was it a big name?
Who was bigger, Britney or Christina?
I think it's not as easy a call as you thought. I think Britney was bigger as far
as Christina can sing better.
But I think Christina's a way better singer.
Okay, but right? if we're already talking about the fact that Britney has this stance or whatever they call that when she's dropping her camp down in Vegas, killing it every night for however long she's going to be there. And Christina, whatever, what is it? It's not a tour. She's going to be extended play. Like,
oh,
J-Lo.
Yeah, there's a term in
there's
the biz.
There's a term, and I don't know what the business term is for it, but she has got this extended run going in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Christina Aguilera is playing the Smart Financial in Sugarland for 6,000 folks.
Mm.
Talent-wise, it's a no-brainer.
I'm with you.
But during that whole crew from the Mickey Mouse Club era, they're killing it.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake too. My buddy,
the actor who's the actor that he's married to Ava Mendez, Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake.
Was he a Mickey Mouse guy?
Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, all Mickey Mouse Club.
Maybe that's what I got to do to get famous. I got to go. You think they would take a 44-year-old dude in the Mickey Mouse Club? Is that weird?
It's a pedophile. That's what that is.
That's not.
That's exactly what that is.
You have a point. My buddy Connor said, Barry, boobs wouldn't work for comedy. Everyone knows that women aren't funny. That's Connor Hogan on Twitter. Send all the hate to him, at Connor Hogan BCB. He put obvious sarcasm at the end.
You omitted that the first go-around
I'm just trying to get him in trouble a little bit.
Well, I think that worked. And did you see Conor McGregor was at the Cowboys game?
Yeah, did you see him try to throw a football?
Feel free to find the laces. I mean, that throw. And then Dak imitated him on one of the touchdowns.
Did he?
He tried to imitate him. God, that was awful.
That's funny.
Yeah, just a flail. Couldn't even find the laces, and everyone was killing him. Social media was killing him. I think on Sunday Night Football, they showed it. They're like, what the hell was this?
It was pretty ugly. I imagine it looks like what Trey would look like if he was throwing a football. JD on Twitter said, Smart Financial Center is a badass venue. I've been to it.
It is.
Or worked over 1,000 shows there, and that's one of my favorite venues now.
A buddy of mine that left Toyota Center is running it. I don't say it's not a bad building, but you would think Christina Aguilera would draw more than 6,000 folks.
Residency is the word you're looking for. Britney in Vegas. Yep. When you set up, because Kiki Maroon, who we featured on the show, and she does the Burly Q Lounge here in Houston, had a residency at Warehouse Live. Residency. I always forget the word.
Same difference. Yeah. Vegas Strip, Warehouse Live. It's just a residency. You know, you're big time.
It is what it is.
Big time and is big time. All right, we got one segment to go on the show before speaking to big time. The Blitz will come up at 4, take you home till 7. You don't have to do a darn thing, and they're going to entertain you the entire way. Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5, The Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Meeting of the minds in the producer 94.1.
Room. Good thing we can't hear any of it. As we continue to roll on.
Couple texts to catch up on real quick. I'll save this one for last, but this is Demetrius Berry. Burger King has a new slushy that's turning people's poop bright green, neon blue, and purple so far. So who knows what color you might get. I'm not a big Burger King guy, but I would try that. You want me to do it tonight and I'll send y'all pictures?
No.
No.
Not at Negative. All.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think we're both sure.
Okay. I will warn you, never get a birthday cake with blue icing. It'll freak you out the next day. You'll think you have colon cancer.
I already told you when I was a kid.
Blue icing? Well,
I was
give you a scare.
I was a big fan of freshen up gum until I ate too much and my mom thought I needed to see a physician immediately or I had mold. I don't know.
Slayer did their farewell tour at Smart Financial Center, so it's not crazy that she's going to play there. AJ said he was at Bob Dylan last night.
Point being, because I drive by the marquee all the time, I get the farewell tours, and I would think that there's a huge difference between Christina Aguilera and Slayer in terms of a fan base and a farewell tour and how many people come out on a regular basis to see the show.
Okay. I mean, when's the last time Christina Aguilera had a hit?
I guess she had some health issues.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And then factor in the fact that she was a judge on either America's Got Talent or The Voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she built up another fan base based on that.
Okay. L.U. Dillon said, boobs aren't funny. Well, I think Nick and Trey are hilarious myself. Oh, zinger. Got him.
See what he did there?
All right. Can we talk about this Michigan-Wisconsin game? Hashtag go blue.
Do we have to? Here, we can talk about it real quick. Michigan handed Wisconsin their ass, beat the hell out of them in the second half, scored 24 unanswered points. Next story.
You're not happy, huh?
I kept telling you, Hornibrook sucks.
Yeah, you did.
The name itself will set you on the wrong path, but Hornibrook sucks.
Wisconsin tumbling mightily in the polls.
They should be out.
New polls are out now. Wisconsin falls 8 spots to number 23 with the loss at 4-2. They're pretty much done.
Gone.
We all missed on that pick, right? On the Wisconsin game?
I would have to go and pull them back up.
I think we all said Wisconsin would cover the 10.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I think that's right.
I can pull it up. Some more movers and shakers in the poll. Penn State drops 10. Aggies up 5 to number 17. Suck it.
Washington. I called that one.
Washington drops 8 to number 15. West Virginia drops 7. A lot of upsets this weekend, obviously. Oregon up 5. Georgia down 6. Michigan moves up 6. LSU up 8. And obviously Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame all move up a spot. LSU cracks the top 5. Somebody reached out and said, is LSU a playoff team? No, and it's not because I don't believe in LSU. It's for the simple fact that it's the same reason why I said Georgia wouldn't be a playoff team, because they got to go through Alabama in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I responded to that person and said, look, impressive win, but that SEC schedule is no joke. And you still got to play Alabama. I don't care if it's at their place or your place. That's a tall task. Now, do you control your own destiny? If you run the table and you beat Alabama, sure, there's a chance. But that's a pretty tall order right there to beat Alabama.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Silly as it might be, based on what they did last year and the regular season national championship, UCF, the lone undefeated team in the top 10, not in the top 5.
Stop it.
So UCF is 6-0. They sit at number 10. Ahead of them is 5 one-loss teams, LSU, Michigan, Texas, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Should UCF be 5th in the polls because they haven't lost?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
I just think strength of schedule and you can start.
That's it. You can stop you can right there.
I was going to say start you there, can stop there. Right there. Yep. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled up some of the other teams that have the one loss. When you look at Oklahoma, their one loss was to a ranked team in Texas. The Georgia loss, obviously, to now a top 5 team in LSU. The Longhorns lost early on to Maryland. I might make the case for that, but then they've gone on and rattled off a win against Oklahoma. Plus, at the time when they beat USC, they were ranked. They had the win against TCU. So, from a strength of schedule perspective, you can make that argument, even though they had the one loss. And Michigan's one loss was to Notre Dame. And then they come back and beat a top 15 ranked Wisconsin. So, I'm with you, but be prepared, because if they continue to stay undefeated, and their schedule is not difficult, so it's likely that they do until they get to the very end when they play Cincinnati and South Florida. Those teams ranked, and that'll give them some trouble.
Clout, yeah.
But until then, they're going to remain undefeated, and probably, most likely. And you just got to wonder what's going to shake out.
You also got to wonder if Scott Frost second guesses his decision to go to his alma mater of Nebraska.
Oof.
Because that hasn't worked out so well.
No.
And his old squad is doing it again this year. And there's something to be said about that winning feeling because he looks bad. They're talking about right now in Nebraska, very similar to what we've been talking about with Bill O'Brien. He's got 26 mil left on his contract after this year. And Nebraska's alums are talking about how big of a hit would it be if we let him go and just let him take the money and walk.
Wow.
That,
after a half a season?
Talk about how the mighty have fallen. Remember under Tom Osborne, Nebraska was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. And you know what? Two teams that can really control their own destiny now. And, you know, we say LSU, it's a tall task, but at least they have the control if they can beat Alabama and finish out that SEC schedule and do what they have to do. Michigan's another one now. Michigan, if they beat Ohio State, as crazy as it seems, if they run the table the rest of their Big Ten schedule and they end up with that big, massive game against Ohio State every year, if they upset the Buckeyes, they got a real shot. And I don't think they're very good at all offensively. Their defense. Now, the one thing I'll give them credit for that, again, Bill O'Brien hasn't figured out yet is if you have a quarterback that can get out of the pocket and run and do some things, it would behoove you to let him do it and find ways to call plays to so that he can do it, which he's done. But overall, it's crazy because I don't think they're nearly as talented as some of the other teams we've been talking about. But they could run the table.
Michigan?
Yeah.
I think Ohio State
pounds them. But if they beat Ohio State, if, it's a big if. But if they do, they're in position to be there.
Well, I'm with you because then they would have wins over Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State. Penn State will probably be ranked. Michigan State jumps into the rankings this week at 24. So when they play them this coming weekend, they're going to be a ranked team. So another notch in their belt if they do beat Michigan State. That last game of the year, like you said, looms large against Ohio State. I'm with you that they control their own destiny, and I was trying to make a case for UT the same way. Like, if UT runs the table, are they in as a playoff team? They've got the one loss that was early in the season. Usually you can bounce back from that, but for the same reason we talked about UCF and their strength of schedule, only one ranked opponent left on Texas's schedule. It's number 13, West Virginia. I just feel like if they run the table and the other folks don't lose in Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, or Alabama, or Michigan beats Ohio State, that's probably your top four. It's probably going to be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and the winner of Michigan, Ohio State.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
And it sucks, Longhorn fan, I know, because, man, to get to to seven after losing to Maryland your first week, to get to number seven in the rankings, you're just outside of that playoff, that playoff position. It's going to be close. It'll be interesting to see, isn't it this Tuesday? It's Tuesday now that the committee's going to get together for their first.
They're about to start. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Is it this week or next week? I believe it's this week that the committee will start releasing their rankings.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting to see.
So this will be the first week. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I was looking at some things that we could wrap up with, but then again, lo and behold, Mr. Shaky, can't rely on him. He likes to bow out when we promote him, guy, is on hold. Do you want to get your boy in here?
Let's do it.
Oh, you, Mike. We don't want to go to break because you'll disappear, so we might as well do this now. What's up?
Our boy Trey sounded a little overly excited about those girls at the ball game, didn't he?
He did.
Well, you should have seen him on Twitter. You're not on Twitter, but if you were, you could have felt the excitement all weekend.
Well, I was just wondering if the ump should check Trey's mitt for a sticky substance.
Wow. Yes, he did it right, though. That's the natural pause and get out. Don't try and come back with another one and screw it up. That was well played.
He texted that to the show, by the way.
Oh, did he?
And I chose to ignore it. So he was obviously very proud of it and decided that he would call and let us hear.
He's obviously a big fan of Sofia Ojeda, too, based on his reactions.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was quite a fan.
Okay.
So you have that. I guess he spends a lot of time watching TV, which worries me immensely based on my family situation.
I would be concerned about that as well.
Yeah, I told you guys about that, right?
No.
The time I went to Dallas to see the Packer Cowboy game like a year or so ago, and my buddy, his company had the seats, and he had one of his clients there, and the guy found out my buddy's got a big mouth and told him who I was married to, and the guy couldn't stop talking about, like, man, I love your wife. I wake up every day.
What?
And it kept going. And the other guys are like,
did you finally say, bro, that's creepy, stuff.
Guy's like, don't make it awkward. And then the other guy next to me goes, hey, watch this. And he goes and finds on his phone a picture of Lisa on the Channel 11 website and goes, hey, want to see this? And the dude was like, oh. And I was like, all right, man, I got to go.
I would be mad.
I was getting pissed off, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to go grab something to drink, and when I come back, you have a conversation with him so this one doesn't get out of hand.
I would have to fight the guy.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, what was not weird is you guys spending the whole afternoon with us, and we really appreciate it. It was a great show, and we'll do it every day, Monday through Friday, same time, 1 to 4 p.m. Coming up next, it's Fred, AJ, Jong. It's The Blitz. They'll take you till 7. Y'all have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.